for the Fenton Perspective with Florian Fenton.
Welcome, everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and replayed over at For Real Encounters Network. Well, I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a wild week. What can I say? The world's exploding around us, and I'm just sitting here wondering when the last shoe's going to drop. You know, this whole Ukrainian thing is just out of control, and you know, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm done talking about it. I've talked about it very little on the show, but I've talked extensively about it with friends and other, you know, my friends that are part of the UN and my crazy Californian leftists here. It's crazy. They actually believe that Putin is a horrible man and that he's doing horrible things in the Ukraine, and they won't even listen to me when I talk about biolabs and a money laundering country for our federal employees. What can I say? I can't get the truth to sit in their brains for any minute, not even for a fraction of a second. So, hey, what do you do? I mean, it's crazy. I know some Ukrainian people. And I haven't spoken to them for many years, but back when I was talking to them, when was that? Geez, I want to say 2005, 2004. They were telling me at the time that the country was just always in a battle with Russia. And we know for the last 8, 9 years, they've been battling on the border. I mean, that's just been going on forever. And so why this came as a big surprise to anybody, I don't even get it. It's been going on freaking – as soon as what was that war that Clinton had with the bullshit – not the bullshit. God, my brain. I'm too old. You know, the Slavs and the whoever was fighting each other back in the late, early 90s. Those two countries. Gosh, Bosnia? Yeah, Bosnia and the other country. I can't even remember where they are now. But, you know, the point is, ever since that conflict, the Russian conflict basically started right after that. It was just tension between countries and things were always not good. And then, you know, the reality is there's a lot of, you know, full-blown Nazi-type socialist parties over in all of those countries. And I don't think people understand. I mean, we have a lot of white supremacists, they call them here in the United States, or Nazi parties. And they're all over the place. I mean, I know an encampment. You guys are going to love this. My uncle, he's a great uncle. I don't know what he is. Anyhow, he married my aunt. He's not even by blood, but he's my uncle, and I love him dearly. And he's an old gold miner. He's in his 90s now, and he doesn't gold mine anymore, obviously. But he was an old gold miner up in the Sierras. And he came down here in the 70s when you could actually go into the river with a rig. They used to have these dirigibles with all the equipment on it, and they vacuumed the I can't remember what they're called now. Jeez, I can't remember anything today. What is going on? This is bad. This is really bad. I got to start taking some brain drugs or something. Anyhow, so he was on those little platforms, and he was sucking up dirt out of the rivers and getting gold and, you know, panning for gold. And he made a good living up there back in the 70s and the 80s. And then by the 90s, it got really crazy. My point to all this is there are little towns all over those mountains. Allegheny is one of them, where you don't drive through unless you know people living there, because it's all Nazis. I mean, seriously, white supremacists, Nazis, whatever you want to call it. But everybody's got a gun. Everybody wears it all the time. And everybody's running around with shaved heads. I mean, I'm telling you. And there are groups of them all over with these communes of them. And then here's the cool part. One of the communes up there, I call the skinhead commune, lives right next door to the, what do they call, they're like Buddhist, they're the Hindu or Buddhist or something, and they're up there chanting in their, and there's all these monks running around, and then you drive half a mile down the road, and then there's another 50 acre, 100 acre, 200 acre plot of land that all those skinheads are on, you know, and they go up and down the street and wave to each other. I mean, it's nuts. So, this has been going on in the United States forever. It's the same way all over the Midwest and the especially the mountain area of the East Coast. A lot of white supremacist groups. But anyhow, I digressed. The reason I bring this up is because they're all over the world except for in China and Russia. And I'd say India probably doesn't have any. Africa has a few. You'd be surprised how many Nazi groups are still in Africa. And it's nuts, and people just ignore it like it doesn't exist, you know? And I'm like, okay, you've got to understand, this has been going on forever. These guys have been trying to take over their little regions forever. It's not like they're never going to get to a point where they can take over any country. But as a group, if you get four or five of them together, they can go into a region and wreak havoc. I mean, absolute havoc. And that's what's been going on in the Ukraine all this time. And everybody knows about it that lives there. They've just talked, you know, it's open talked about that half the people in the city are Nazis and the other half aren't, you know. And it's crazy. And half will be Russian and half will be Ukrainian. They were born there. And the other half will be the older people that came from Russia. And they seem to be getting along fairly well up until we got our fingers in the pie by building all of those, you know, facilities to create bioweapons. I mean, what the heck's going on here? This is nuts. So anyhow, I don't understand why people can't realize that this is all going on and it's real. You know, this is the part that makes me nuts and I can't deal with people because they don't understand that evil exists. And this goes back to what I've been saying to you guys for over a decade now. Evil is more organized than you can ever imagine. And that goes back to what the guy told me back in the early 90s when I met up with him, and he's one of these guys that is the son of one of the top people in the world that own the world, okay? And long story short, I told you guys, I don't know how I came across him. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell you guys how, but I ended up sitting across from this guy at an event. And it was very quiet where we were sitting, and he started telling me stuff, and I don't know why he told me. To this day, I have no clue is why he told me this, but I think God had a hand in it because it woke me up real quick, as to what's going on in the world. He says they own it, and there's nothing we can do about it. And this was about the time George Carlin was basically saying the same thing. And I was thinking to myself, this is so weird that this guy would even be telling me this stuff. And I know where he comes from, and I know who his family is, and I know that they are, you know, huge in Europe. And I'm thinking, this is so crazy. And he's just basically telling me what George Carlin was saying all along. I'm like, oh, my God. And it took me over a decade to actually believe it. Took me over a decade to want to even touch it. You know, my brain just thought, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, like that could happen. And here's the problem, folks. And this is what we've got to stop right now. And if it doesn't stop, you know, I'm right there with Alex Jones. If it doesn't stop now, then it's too late and we all got to run for our underground bunkers. Because here's the problem. The United States, the federal government, has allowed foreign entities and corporations to buy up land, property, and farms in the United States. We've allowed the Chinese to take over our ports. This should never have happened. How it got through, our government allowed it to happen, is another whole problem. Because our founding fathers never expected that we'd be dumb enough to let a foreign country own anything in this country, okay? So this is the problem. If we got rid of all the Chinese people who own property here and own Hollywood now, and we got rid of all the Bill Gateses who own all the farmland and not allow one guy and one corporation to buy up that much property, it's monopoly, and you cannot have that in the United States. It's against the law to do that, as far as I can tell. Remember when they broke up all the phone companies? You guys probably aren't old enough to remember that, but back in the, I want to say late 80s, early 90s maybe, they broke up they broke up Ma Bell. In other words, this company was going to own, I call it a she, because they call it Ma Bell. I thought that was pretty funny. But they owned like AT&T and like seven other companies, and they were all taking over all the phone lines in America. And there was no competition to be had. So the government stepped in and said, I'm sorry, you can't do that in America. It's not allowed. You can own a percentage of it, and then you've got to give, you know, free rein to other companies to own it as well. And the phone systems. And so they did. They broke it up, and now we've got – and now it's going back to the same way it was before, because now we've only got like three major carriers or two. But it wasn't allowed. It just wasn't allowed in America. It was common knowledge that America was what they call a free enterprise, or I can't remember the word, but when I was in school, I learned about this. There's a word for it in economics where you allow everybody to have the ability to, if they've got enough money, to buy into the pie. And you always keep the pie variable. In other words, you can't be one person owning the whole pie. It's just that simple. And the government rules on it. When it gets too big, the government's supposed to step in and say, hey, I'm sorry, you are not a mob. You're not going to dictate how much money you're charging all these people, because you're the only one out there being able to do it. And so we fell asleep. At some point in the 90s, late 90s, when Clinton got in office, I should have known it was Clinton causing all the problems. Actually, Reagan didn't help. And Clinton really got bad with Clinton, because then all the regulations went out the door. As soon as Hillary could get her fingers in the pie, she started litigating all these realities. And that's how they made their money, folks. Don't get, you know, everybody goes, oh, how do they make so much money? How's the Clinton Foundation, you know, make so much money? It's like this. You get a lobbyist coming to you and saying, I represent the oil industry. We want to get rid of all these regulations. How can we do that through the government? And so she gets in there, does her little magic wand thing, and gets it to the point where she buys off enough senators and enough this and enough that, and everybody's in everybody's pocket, and then it all goes to crap. Because then suddenly there's a new law that's passed, or you know, whatever. I don't know how they do it, but they pass stuff where it says, oh, this regulatory agency does no longer exist. Okay, so you get rid of the regulatory agency, then who's going to keep those guys in check? Nobody. Oh, don't even get me started on the WHO. Oh, or the UN. Oh, my God. What horrible organizations. They've got to be run by reptilians. It's the only thing I can say here at this point in time. They've got to be run by reptilians. I mean, you know, David Icke, God bless his soul. God bless David. You know, I've been following David forever, and I got to meet him back when we were running the tour for him. All I ever said, I hope you guys understand this. This is really important. All I ever said to David when I met him was, hey, David, I'm the lady who ran the Mind Control conferences in 12, 13, and 14. And he looked at me and he said, God bless you. He goes, I've been there, done that. It's a hell. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And we took a picture together, and we chatted about a couple other things for about 5 minutes. And then I left, because I just felt like, you know, what's the point? There was a whole room of people glomming on to David. But, you know, we shared that moment. And that moment was, we both had battled evil, and we knew what they could do. And it was just like, you know, what are you going to do? All you can do is wake people up. And that's what David does when he does his tours, tries to wake people up about the reality of the world. And, yeah, and the reality is very simple. There are evil, some kind of evil here that's running this planet, and they don't give a crap about us. It's really quite simple. They just don't care. So I don't know what we're going to do, folks, but praying seems to help. So I pray all day long. I pray when I get out of bed in the morning. I pray when I'm in the shower. I think the negative ions really help with the praying. I don't know, but when I'm in the shower praying, it feels more connected. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, connected. Yeah. It feels different than when I'm laying in bed praying, you know, or sitting up in bed praying. And I pray at night before I go to sleep, and it's just a short prayer. And I try to go outside and stand on my porch and do it while I'm breathing in the dark cold of the night. And that seems to help too. So I hope you guys are praying at least 3 times a day. And I think it'll make a difference if we all did that, because I really feel it can. And I think that whether it's God that's listening to us, or whether it's our alien contacts that all of you out there that listen to my show are probably all contactees anyhow, whether it's your angels, your higher self, your guardian angel, higher being. No, there's another word I'm looking for. Oh, your masters, your ascended masters, your spirit guides, whatever they are. Yeah, those guys. I think they all hear us. I really do. I think when we go into that place of absolute quiet within our soul, they hear us. And I think that's the only thing that's going to save us right now, folks, really, honestly. Because, you know, God can't turn his back on us now. We've been fighting this evil battle for a long time, and I really think he won't. And I think you guys have got to just start praying really, really hard, because things are going to get so ugly. People have no idea. And I'm going to say one last thing in closing today. Do you guys remember John Teeter? I was never a John Teeter believer. Never, ever. And, you know, I love time travel, and I do my time travel conferences, which I'm going to do another one here very shortly. They're online because I just can't afford to bring people together right now. But time travel is a very important thing to me, because I absolutely believe in it. Marshall Barnes is a good friend of mine. And as you guys know, I really believe that we can change our reality around us into another kind of dimensional space. So, and I think the ETs have showed me that several times. So I think it can happen. But my point here is this. There are many different realities, and for some reason, many of us end up in the one that's ugly, and we have to battle it. And it's part of our existence on the other timelines to be here battling this now. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know it in my heart. I know that that's part of our, if you want to call it the ascension process or whatever, I call it the completion process. I think we have to be in a timeline that where we just sit and do nothing, and we act like monks, and everything's perfect and peaceful and unloving. And then I also think we have to be warriors in another timeline where we're actually fighting people on a physical level, like in the 1600s. You know, I think they all happen simultaneously. And in order for us to actually get to that higher dimensional plane where the angels come from, or God exists, we have to complete all our tasks on all these different levels, whether they're happening at the same time or different times or what have you. But we have to complete them. It's just part of the deal, you know. So that's what the ETs have shown me. So I hope you guys pray, because I think that gets us into that state where we can connect those different lives together. All right. Well, I'm going to bring my guest on now. My guest again is Ken, and he's my superhero ET contactee there on the East Coast. Ken, are you with me? He's looking for that.
I clicked it. Yeah, I'm with you.
Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Okay. So how are you today?
Well, I'm recovering from some ET surgery that led to a lot of broken bones.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because you and I were chatting before the show tonight, and we both are kind of pissed off at E.T. right now. And tell the story of how your whole rib thing happened, okay? Because I think it's important people understand how this all led up to your lung replacement.
Yeah, for some reason, I was having difficulty respiratory-wise. And then next I know, I have extreme pain in the lower left of my chest, and I have all those marks that I had posted, the surgical marks and so forth. And they explained, I said, I was thinking lung biopsy. They said, no, lung replacement.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, before we go on, Ken, what is your Facebook website so people can go look at your pictures that you posted there?
Okay, Kenneth Hyde Hopkins or Kenneth Hopkins?
Okay, so you guys got that? I want you to go there and look at these pictures because they're very intriguing. I thought they were bed bugs, but hey. Then I took a closer look and I thought, well, they're too precise because bed bugs will bite in a line, but they're usually pretty crooked by the time they get done.
Well,
so
the doctor,
I was like, these are really precise. So, yeah, I think we're onto something here. But
yeah,
go ahead.
The doctor said it was self-mutilation.
Oh, great. Yeah, we
and because I was trying to explain to him that the reason that lung became the only part of my body became infected with Omicron because it didn't have the antibodies that all the rest of my body had. So when they put that lung in, that became immediately infected with Omicron.
Okay.
So the viral Omicron viral infection led to the lungs breaking. Plus, in there doing the procedure, I think they did break some ribs. They, I believe, used the scar going up my center to put the lung in. So I was, after they did that, I was in 5 days of extreme pain, and of course there's no way I could get pain medication. And then when I brought it to my doctor's attention, he called it self-mutilation.
Jesus, how do you break your ribs like that in mutilating yourself? I don't even understand.
Yeah,
how
he's,
come up
he's
with
saying, I took an ice pig and I stabbed myself 18 times.
Oh,
in
right.
In those spots. So, but both my wife and my son are aware of these surgeries that are going on. And there's going to be more coming. Because they're replacing some organs.
Jeez, you know, I love your ETs. Can I borrow them?
This is a military group. This is a U.S.
that's
military
right.
group.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's step back a moment. Okay. Let's go back to who this military group is and how you came upon them, okay?
I'm not told what's coming. And this group is working on longevity on my body. So they created a clone using my cells, and then they've taken body parts from that clone. That's why they were able to put the left lung in with no
rejection.
Anti-rejection medication. They're
correct.
Very advanced. They're a U.S. military group. And they fly ships. The ship I was in looked very much like the Gray's ship.
Now, wait, before you say that, was it a big black triangle or was it a round cylinder type of
I was
silver
in it,
ship?
I can't say what the, it was, I'm assuming it was 30 to 40, 50 feet round.
Okay.
From being inside it. So they use plasma teleportation as the other two or three groups do. The Palladians, the Greys don't use plasma teleportation. They have another process. But so this military group has been with me since birth. And they've worked undercover around me. I believe they're the ones that saved my life in 76 when I was 22. They were setting me up for a torture and then a kill. And it was intervened and three men disappeared, bodies never to be found. There were several attempts in my early years of the government trying to kill me or federal agents But after a while, they just went into heavy surveillance for 40 years.
Okay. So let's talk – before we go into the whole lung thing, because we'll get there eventually. yeah. What I do want to say is that people don't believe this, and it's kind of like my super soldier mind control scenario that this is all connected. The ET showed me many years ago, and this is why I did my mind control conferences, is that it's all connected. The targeted individuals, the mind control victims, the ET contact, the whether the victims that come out realize it or not, it's still part of the mind control that the ETs are putting in place here. I mean, for example, I just want to say this real quick to everybody. Look at the people around you who have been completely mind controlled about the whole virus. I mean, just look at this. It's insanity, but it makes sense to me because that's how mind control works. These people, like my mother and my sister, my sister's a doctor, and you'd think she'd be smart enough to realize that to vaccinate her children, but no, she ran out and got them all vaccinated, and her husband and herself, and now they're all sick all the time. So, you know, it's like, what do you do with people like that? You know, they're all mind control victims at some level, and it's part of the evil agenda of this planet to do this. But anyhow, okay, I digress. So you're part of this, you're... Why do you think you've been part of this since you were born?
I don't – somewhat the explanation I get, which doesn't make – everything is from the future that has set up what's coming. And I'm, of course, not to know what's coming. So I only get so many answers when I ask questions. They say that for me to have this information would be dangerous. And I believe that was the information they were going after when I was 22. So I am just kind of following a puppet.
Okay, role. Wait. Stop. When you were 22, what information did you receive?
I didn't get any, but for some reason, they thought I had information.
Ah, okay. So, I understand.
So I can't understand the whole pattern of homicides from the girl's father that was the agent all the way from it was the FDEA that was carrying out the torturing. I don't really – it almost seemed like somebody came back in time to stop this process that we're part of.
I understand completely. I've had a couple of experiences where I have met people – in very strange situations, and I was even talking about one today on the show, where people just pop up out of the blue and tell me a whole bunch of stuff, and then I never see or hear from them again and don't know how – I know where they came from supposedly, but I'm not really sure because there's no way to get back to them, okay?
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, this is really strange. Now, I – And it's happened so many times to me, I can't describe it. Now, what I always thought it was, Ken, was aliens disguising themselves as humans telling me what's going to happen here in the future. And they're time travelers, obviously. So I don't know why they'd even pick on us, you know?
Well, the
why did you get this kind of information? Why did I get this information?
Yeah.
Why does Carrie Cassidy get this information? Why does Bill Ryan? Why do certain people on this planet have these people come to them and say, look, this is what's really happening, and this is how it's going to play out. And then, you know, 20 years later, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, what they told me is really happening, you know? And it's like they wouldn't – I mean, who would know that, you know?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Why would they think – but there seems to be evidence I was under surveillance when I was younger than 22.
I understand. I have
the Palladians said that they are teaching us – or the classes, they said, was about preventing what has happened. So we're before something that is about to occur. Some major event that's about to occur. And that's the only information I can get. This event took place in their time, and they're trying to prevent it from occurring in this time.
Well, that's why I brought up John Teeter today, because I didn't finish what I was talking about with him. But bottom line is, John Teeter said to all of us online in a chat forum, "We've done something so horrible, there's no way to describe it." Basically, that's what he said. He goes, something to the effect, "You wouldn't believe me if I told you." It was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I never believed that John Teeter existed because of him coming back for a certain computer part. But now I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, how would you ever explain what's going on now in the world to anybody? The Great Reset, the vaccines that don't work, trying to kill us with a bioweapon. I mean, would you have ever in your wildest imagination thought of this? And then on top of it all, be able to tell somebody in the past that this is going to happen? Because in 2019, we were all just la-di-da-ing around, right? And then look what happens. 2020 happens, and then the world explodes. So...
They are positive about the change that is coming. That's all I can say.
Oh,
they're very
Jesus.
Positive about the ascension process. And then when I asked another question, I was told it started 2,000 years ago.
That makes sense. About the time of Jesus, I would assume.
Yeah, that's interesting that the reset was planned 2,000 years ago. Because I said, when was this set up? And they said, 2,000 years ago, but they only give me bits and pieces.
Yeah, I know. I have that problem with them. They're very what I get is they talk to me in my head and tell me what to do. It's not language. It's not a sentence. It's not words, but it's like an impression I get. Like when they told me to put on the conference this year, it wasn't like they were saying, okay, Lorraine, put on the conference like that. It was like I woke up and I had to put on the conference. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it because I know how they communicate now, right? They
yeah,
imprint
the
demand
thing.
Upon me, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And so we battled that way for weeks. And then I finally acquiesce as usual and do what they tell me to do. But, you know, it doesn't make any difference. What I do isn't making a difference in the world as far as I can tell. How about you? Do you feel like we're actually
going to make a difference? I haven't figured out, you know, the fact that they're replacing all my organs, and they have, suddenly my memory becomes sharper, recall becomes instantaneous, I got indentions in my head that a friend pointed out. So I'm just going along with the program. I don't know what the program is.
Do you think we have somebody among us somebody amongst our ET connections, you know, because there's probably a couple million of us at least.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think there's anybody within our construct of having communication with ET on many different ETs, by the way, that is going to step forward and kind of get us all to gather and do something together? I feel like that's what we're missing is organization.
Togetherness and unity and oneness is their repeated message. The coming together is one. And when you look at, and that's what everything has been about, division. Religion has been about creating division. Racism is about creating division. Terror, everything has been about creating division. So what they're telling me is we need to come together collectively as
I
one.
I agree.
We are one.
Yeah.
But the powers be don't want us collectively. They don't
right.
want us knowing that we can create.
Oh, my God. That was my first lesson. You know that. The bunny rabbit I manifested when I was 6 years old. I mean, I've known my whole life I can create anything I want. All I have to do is understand why I need it and do it out of love instead of greed. And it'll be there for me. Always has been, always will.
Love and oneness. And love brings about oneness is pretty much what they're telling me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that is the truth, honest to God. Every time I've had a major connection with them, every bit of their information revolves around love.
And they also have given me the construct of their society, their culture. their economic and political system. Which
oh, tell us about that. I'm dying to hear
this. I was writing about this stuff several years ago. They don't have money. There's no such thing as profit.
Right.
There's no incentives that we have in this world. They don't have in their world. They haven't killed one of their own, they said, in 2,000 years, I think is what they said. So there's no positions of power. They're run by a committee. It's a form of socialism. Everybody, the creator, we are the creator. We are part of the creator. To serve the creator is to serve another.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yep. It's about serving each other, not about the five commandments of how we worship this imaginary God. God is within us. He's not outside of us. The wingmakers have said repeatedly.
Yep.
And by having people look for God outside of themselves, they depower themselves. They
That's
lose the ability to create.
True. Yep. So when I'm praying, Kenneth, I'm actually I'm praying to my other beings, those other dimensional beings, and God, because I do believe that we have – do they believe that we have a supreme being? I don't even call him God, really. I call him the source.
Yeah,
because
it seems to more line up with the source.
Yeah.
That it's part of us. We're part of it. We're part of the creation. So I think the source is closer to what they feel. And serving one another, the body is the temple.
Yep.
Their laws around crime, their most serious laws around crime, around harm to one another. You know, destruction to the temple, hurting another person. The difference in seeing the absence of what Christianity does here, love isn't seen as a sin. The children are all taken care of. Their concepts around sexuality totally go against anything Christian. They create, they have care facilities in the ships. The families live on these ships. Communities live on these ships. And then they're bringing settlements in some isolated areas where they're practicing our systems.
Okay, now wait. Do they actually live on planets or they just live in ships?
They're able to go back and forth pretty quickly to their home. The process of plasma teleportation has put me on planets. They have communities living on the ships. They have transport ships. They're bringing people to Earth from their planet. These people don't have the conceptualizing that we're used to. They also consider those that were brought in their seedings, they say tens of thousands of years ago, they consider Pleiadian. And so they told me I was born into the Pleiadians.
Well, that makes sense. Absolutely.
Because I was trying to figure out in the breeding program, I was going in cities, I was going in other places in America or other countries. And I'm saying, this is a hybrid program. They said, no, we're breeding amongst our own.
Okay, so now let me ask you, have they talked to you about how it is that you and I and others are part of this breeding program? I mean, were my parents part of it?
The only thing that in plasma teleportation, they reference a genetic trait.
Okay.
And one or both parents have to have that genetic trait.
Okay.
But they can teleport people without it. They did a number of surgical procedures on my wife. My wife previously had never been abducted. So they're able to teleport people without these genes, but for some reason, this particular gene plays a role in interdimensional travel.
I agree with you on this. They showed me something about that a long time ago, and I never could grasp it too well. But here's what I took from it, and it was that those of us who are born with it are can be taken any time. But if they decide they want to work with you, even if you're not genetically their own, they can tweak you when you're born. I mean, when you're a kid. And you will always be able to be, you know, have communication with them. And you don't necessarily have to be of their, you know, of their genealogy, in other words. Have you ever come across that?
Well, in the relationships, I've had numerous relationships. Most of them, I think, are contactees, other people being abducted.
Okay.
And so, as they said, it's you without memory, but you without memory is another personality.
That's true.
So I don't remember the relationships until I've accessed them with hypnosis. I've been born of Earth, I don't know how many times. All I remember is the American Indians for many years. So I've been on this planet many years. Many, of course, haven't been. I've met the ones that are not familiar with our planet and our schema. And for the most part, there's an assimilation process. There isn't much verbal communication, because the things we think of in this life don't exist in theirs. You know, the bank, the mortgage,
right.
where's the next money? Everybody is taken care of. So there's none of the incentives for greed. Yet this planet has all the incentives for that.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I just wanted to say quickly, I believe that I have been here many, many lifetimes, and I know I am genetically from somewhere else. I know that. I know it, my soul. They've told me. I know it. You know, I don't even have to think about it. It's just part of my makeup. And I'm sure you're the same exact way. So let me ask, did you have any siblings or brothers or sisters? Do you think they were part of this as well?
My sister, her daughter are abductees, contactees, but they're not too bright. I mean, I shouldn't say. My sister is with Putin and Bush and Trump.
Okay.
When I was explaining stuff from the UN that my wife had told me, she was giving me stuff that was totally ridiculous. So I got so frustrated I had to hang up.
Well, now let me say something briefly here. I believe that a lot of people who are being taken by the Greys or in some kind of other program, you don't just because you're a contactee doesn't mean you're dealing with higher dimensional beings. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's many programs going on, and I can tell you right now from what you just said about your sister, she's not dealing with the same ETs you and I are, because I'm dealing with guys that are extraordinarily beautiful, loving, light beings from another dimension, and that you can call them angels.
In an abduction together with the Greys.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I'm a very big part of.
Well, yeah, I think we all are. Anybody who's a contactee has definitely had some great contact.
Yeah.
I know I have. They don't bother me anymore. I laid down the law with those guys a long time ago and said, you're not taking me anymore. You're not doing anything to me. I don't want anything to do with this, right? And surprisingly, as far as I can tell, I haven't had too much problems with them. But the military seems to have stepped in at that point. Because once you start telling the Greys or the aliens what to do, that's a trigger point for the military dealing with the ET, and then you're on the radar, and then you're on the list. You're on the list that you are the person that could cause ascension on this planet and help organize people, okay? And that's why I think, Kenneth, they're after you and I.
Yeah, I think they know what happens. They know the role that we're playing in the future, and they're trying
exactly.
to find a way to obstruct it. The millions they've spent on surveillance and controlling what I write on the computer is phenomenal. The Grays have done a lot of surgery on me, and it's been very helpful for making my hands so I can make fists. I used to wake up
Well, see, now the Grays are working with you in a positive way, and they can't do that.
Yeah. If it's the same group. Yeah.
Well, that's true. There's many different types
There's
of Grays.
Different Grays.
Yeah, exactly.
But the ones with me are very strong valued. Their division of the world is those that serve themselves and those that serve others. They're with those that serve others. Their value system, I like. I find it very structured. I had some conflicts with it, but I have to agree that they were right.
Right.
I had problems with the hybrid program. I completed a book on it, but couldn't get it published with their hybrid program because I thought it was horrible, you know, what they did to six girls that I knew. But I understand the reasoning. But I also, in the later abductees that are being abducted now, there's a whole different thing going on than was going on in the 70s. Emotional connection with the Grays. It's a whole different atmosphere now than it was in the 70s. In the 70s, it was traumatic for these women, being taken from my car with me and then, put on a table and having a embryo placed in their vaginas and seeing these Grays stand around them. I listened to a lot of the hypnosis to uncover these memories these women had. And it was horrible. It was traumatic. So that emotional aspect made me very angry at the Grays. But it may have been the hybrids that developed the emotional connection. And the next generation of hybrids being more emotionally connected through the divisions.
Right, right. And the fact that we actually have hybrids here on the planet living among us that are passing off as human, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I know when I'm in the presence of one, I can feel something happens to me. I don't know about you, Ken, but I've had many of my conferences, I've had hybrids at my conference. And I'm going to say Cynthia Crawford was definitely a hybrid. Every time I was around her, I felt like I was with my mother. It's a weird experience to be around somebody who is a pure hybrid because if you've got that genetics, it's like you're with family. And I can't explain it to anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Well, me getting married caused a relationship with Sumo, who's from Arizona, to have my surgery done on my wife to identify her genetics. She was furious that I got married. Now, Sumo in Arizona seems to have consciousness of her experiences on the ships with the Pleiadians and that same consciousness on Earth. So she's kind of a bizarre cross. And then she appeared at my driveway. The Pleiadians decided with what happened with my wife that they were going to separate us. So she...
Wait, hold on. Now, this is a whole story we got to hear from the beginning. Who is Sumo and why is she important in all this?
Okay. I've been having relationships with the Pleiadians without consciousness.
Okay.
She was a relationship that was happening at night.
Okay.
So she did not understand me getting married.
Is she a human on Earth a hybrid?
She's a human on Earth, and I assume she's a hybrid.
Okay.
She lives in Arizona.
Okay.
So when she found out I was married, she'd had my wife taken up, and then they removed pieces of tissue from my wife's back. And then she was yelling at me, telling me that my wife is an unknown, and I shouldn't be with an unknown or whatever. But she was furious that I had gotten married But she knew that the self on Earth got married, which kind of surprised me.
Huh.
So, but she had awareness of both worlds. Because when they had me visit her, she was performing as a, she was playing a flute at a concert, I believe in Arizona. And then she in the end, we ended up in some kind of hospital. That's where they took the piece out of my wife.
When you were in Arizona and Sumo was there, was your wife with you as well?
No. Okay. They teleported me to Arizona to meet Sumo. I didn't know what I was there for because I didn't have a conscious relationship with Sumo.
Now, this is at night, and this is when they're teleporting you. When they teleport you to Arizona, do you know you're in Arizona, or is this derived later after the experience?
This was derived later with hypnosis that I was
gotcha.
In Arizona.
Okay, so you have no idea where you're really
No, and I'm making myself ask now, where are we?
That's a good idea. It's kind of like being, you know, hooded and taken to a secret meeting, and then you got to, like, figure out all the turns to get there for the FBI, right?
So I don't know. Yeah. So I remember one woman, she told me, you're in Indiana. Another woman, you're in China. So
yeah.
So now I'm asking because I'm curious.
Yeah. And that's cool. And because these women are obviously under some type of hypnotics or, you know, mind control that the ETs are doing to them at the time, they're going to blurt out the truth as they know it, correct?
Yeah, but Sumo seemed to have awareness of both her contact with the Pleiadians and her fact that she lived in Arizona. She seemed to have a broader... And I'm finding differences of awareness with different abductees. There's abductees that have no idea they're a contactee.
Right.
To ones that have full awareness of the whole spectrum.
Yeah, like my friend Melinda.
Yeah.
Melinda Leslie. She has got dark places where she's filled it in with hypnosis, but she's a pretty conscious abductee.
Yeah. I have conscious experiences and relationships. But most of them are what I call alternates. So when we want to find out what happened on the Palladian ship, we'll put me under hypnosis, bring that alternate out, and then he'll describe what happened on the ship.
See, now you're describing something I've always believed is going on here. I have been told by my ETs when I was a teenager, I said, how do you deal, you know, I don't know why I was asking this question, but I said, how do you deal with just me? And they came back with this cryptic answer that I still am trying to decipher, but it makes sense now that you said that. They said, there are many of you.
Yeah, us. Yeah. They have, and that, this was good.
And I was like, what are you talking? I still don't get it, but, you know,
yeah.
You're kind of.
It's
and I think it's personalities
thing.
They're talking
yeah,
about,
they're the
right?
The same thing as the past life personalities.
Exactly, because I, so, you know, that's what I thought after that little conversation with them. Because see, I have seen my past lives. I can go there, I can live it, I can feel it. And I was on stage once being hypnotized into a past life, and I could feel the itchy damn clothes I was wearing. That's how real it was for me.
Yeah, it was. I had it in. They call them lucid dreams, but the Buddhist master said, no, you were in that time.
That's right. That's right. You're living it. You're there in the moment.
You're put back in time. And if you notice, you have your conscious personality here, and then you're watching yourself in
yep.
the past.
Because that's right.
That has already happened. So you're watching yourself make the decisions as you go through that life. So,
but it's happening simultaneously. See, this is the part they showed me. It's all happening at the same real time. It's just that your brain can't decipher it as at the same time. It deciphers it as the past.
Yeah, and then when they took me to the future, the same thing.
Exactly.
I'm watching myself act or do what is going on. And yeah. So it's like one personality watching the other personality. So when we got into doing hypnosis.
Oops. Oh, okay. Now stay there. Remember, we're at the personality part. Okay. Everybody, we'll be back in just a minute. Ken's going to mute. I'm going to mute. And we'll be back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hybrid thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio, Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
They
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and replayed over at Four Real Encounters Network. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day today, and I hope the show's been intriguing for you so far, and Kenneth is always a great guest. Now, I'm going to be talking just a little bit longer here, Kenneth, so you can go ahead and mute still. You guys know that this is a listener-supported network, and we really do appreciate everything you guys do for us. And I don't know how many years I've been saying it every Monday now, but it's really important that you give us a little bit of your energy in the form of money. I know it's crazy. Money is very tight right now. We're all suffering. Trust me, I know it. And if you believe in what we're doing here at Revolution Radio, you've got to give us a little bit back. I mean, it's just that simple. Like Alex Jones right now, I'm just going to bring him up for a second. I've been back watching Alex for about a year now, and his network, he's got to get money out of people to do it. So here's what I suggest that you guys all do. This is really important. Support the networks that are telling you the truth. I mean, I culled a bunch of networks that I was paying money for every month, $5, $10 here, whatever, and I just culled them. I went through, and there were a few that were still telling the truth, but they were getting very slanted in their view about things. And I thought, you know what? I can't afford emotionally and energetically to support a network where it's just basically one or two people on the network, and they're trying to get me to go down their path with them. See, this is the great part about Revolution Radio. You may not agree with me, and you may not agree with Solaris, and you may not agree with Bill, and you may not agree with another person here at the network. But I bet you there's four other shows you agree with, like Fetzer and Scott Bennett and, you know, anybody else that's here that's been here forever. And you may not agree with, 10 of the shows, but there's 20 out there I bet you do agree with and that you're happy to support. So the deal here is, don't worry about the people you don't agree with. Listen to the people you do and give us 5, 10, 15, 20, 100, you know, whatever you can afford a month to keep those people here on the air. They're not getting paid, but if they know the network is solid and we're going to keep going here, they won't give up any more than I'll give up. I mean, this is just part of our battle plan, is to keep us here and keep us live on air. And you guys, it's important. And you should be supporting people like, in my opinion, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, I mean, the Epoch Times. I don't know where else I spend my money. I spend it everywhere I can that I think it's important. And that they're actually changing the hearts and minds of people that may have been on the fence about what's going on with everything in the world. I think they're really starting to do this. I would support RT if I could even get them anymore. I mean, it's insanity what they've done to all the people out there that act. Dr. Mercola, I mean, I have to go on there and listen to his podcast when they happen, because they're going to be pulled down in 24 hours because he's the most wanted doctor in America. Did you ever think that we'd be in this mess? This is insanity. So anyhow, back to this network. You guys, really, it's important that you show your support. Even if you only listen to my show every week or listen to Solaris's show or anybody else's show here on the network, if you listen to one show a week, that's only $1.25 a week. Come on. You can afford it. You've got to find it. It's important. We've got to keep this network alive. It's that simple. We don't have a choice anymore. This is part of the battle, and this is like the spear, okay? In order for our spear to keep flying through the air at these guys, we've got to give it some energy, and energy right now is a little bit of money. So help us out. Really, really, it's important. $5 a month. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for 100. I'm asking for 22. I support ICANN as well. You know, the Dell Big Tree Network. It's another one. I support Children's Health Defense Network. I mean, I'm out there supporting everybody I can to the detriment, basically, of not being able to pay my garbage bill every month. Or the water. I pick one or the other, and I pray to God that they won't ding me for a year, you know, that kind of thing. But it's important, you guys. You've got to support these people that are out there fighting the battle, okay? It's that simple, you know, really. So anyhow, what you do is you go to freedomslips.com. That's like freedom, your freedom slipping away, freedomslips.com. You go to the donate button, and on there is our Patreon account where you can donate your $5 a month, or you can donate 10 or 20 or whatever you can afford and help keep us here live on air. There's other ways to support us as well. You can buy an icon for the chat room. You can pay for advertising on the webpage. There's just tons of ways to support us. Please do. I mean, I don't know how else to tell you guys this. I've been saying it for 11 years now, or 10 years now at least, almost 11. $5 a month, that's all I ask here at the Fenton Perspective, because if you can give up one cup of coffee a month for all of these great people that are on this network. Oh, Sean's back. That's another thing. Sean's back today. I hope you guys heard him. I'm sure he's in rare form as usual, and I just love him to pieces. So, you know, thank God Sean's back. Yay! Okay. So, yeah, Strange Universe is back. So support that, too. All right, you guys, that's it. I'm not going to keep going here, but you know what to do, and you really need to do it. If you've been on the fence about it, and today's like the third or fourth time you've ever listened to my show, or if you just found out about me or whatever, and if you've been here for 10 years listening to me, it's really important that you guys do this. It's not going in my pocket, okay? It's going to keep those servers humming that we've got all over the United States, humming away without anybody's intervention, all right? Nobody can turn us off. That's the most important thing. All right, thank you guys for listening to that. Now, as far as my stuff's going, UFO Con will not ever be seen on demand, okay? Because here's what's happening. UFO Con is now being edited and is going to be one of the main features on Make Contact TV when I get it launched here pretty soon. Things are shaking around that area. I still don't have my studio, but I decided, what the hell, I'm just going to have to get all of my past conferences up and get that launched. So that's what we're working on now. We've got a couple of them already edited. I'm working on getting the channel set up, and I'm just going to do it. And I think everything will be launched by June 1st as far as JFK Truth TV. We are going to have an online conference on May 29th. That's the weekend of the Memorial Day weekend, and that is also JFK's birthday. So it'll be my third JFK birthday online conference. I do hope you guys can make it. It's going to be very intriguing. I'm doing a little different this year. I'm not doing just mostly JFK researchers. I'm doing two JFK researchers. I'm doing a guy that does Dorothy Kilgallen, and I'm doing an MLK guy, and I'm doing a guy that knew about Jack Ruby, and I just got a different group of people, and it's usually six speakers for about an hour and 15 minutes each. It's a long day, but it's well worth it. These are amazing researchers, and I hope you guys are up for it. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, again, that will not have a replay to it. You will have to go to JFK Truth TV later to watch it, and it's only going to come out in bits and pieces over a 2-year period. So I highly suggest you pay the 20 or bucks or whatever we're charging for the event. I highly suggest you pay it so that you can watch that now and not have to wait over a long period of time to see it. And we will be having the Assassination Murder Con in Las Vegas at some point this year, probably in the late fall. That's my guess, okay? So I hope a lot of you want to come to Vegas in the winter when it's nice and warm there. And, well, it's actually cold, but it can be warm too. But anyhow, that's what's happening with that. So, okay, so that's all that's happening now, right now. And if you guys, I am trying to get my website up to snuff, as they say, and I'm going to start putting all the conferences I'm going to and the ones I'm not. I'm going to try to list the ones I think are important that you need to be at that actually will make a difference in your life, up on there. And I hope you guys start checking that out. I'll start reminding you as soon as I get that website updated. I'll start reminding you it's a resource for you to go to check things out. Okay. So that's it for that. I'm 2 minutes over. Oh, gosh. Ken, I just took 2 minutes away from you. I'm so sorry, sweetie. Are you there?
Now I am.
Yeah, great. I try to be done with all the advertisings by 6:10 my time, but I went a little long today. I'm so sorry. So we were back at the personality differences.
Well, when we got into hypnosis, we can get two kinds of recall. We can get the dopey kind where you say, I walked, this happened, that happened.
Right.
And then answer. But when we went after the personalities, then we got the personalities were still alive. They acted as if they were alive and they told us everything. We had one reading a book. So there was a lot of similarity between the past life personalities and the multiple personalities involved with the Palladians. They considered that a part, because I was saying, you know, especially when Sumo interfered with my marriage, I was very angry. And it's like, why are we having these stupid alternate relationships? And they said that was their process, basically.
Well, okay. It doesn't make any sense to me, though. And I understand why you call them stupid alternate relationships. But is it because your different personalities need that relationship? I mean, what's the point?
Their word was me without memory. Okay. And then as we got into the personalities, we had to give them names because they didn't have names. So for example, we got into the alternate that was having the relationship with Sumo.
Okay.
He wasn't very trusting of us. And he wasn't very cooperative.
Okay, now wait. Now, we're talking about a personality that is maybe living in a different timeline?
No, he's in the timeline when they take me at night.
Okay, so he's your traveling personality.
He's one of the ones that had the relationship. He's the one that had the relationship with Sumo.
Okay. Now, I know I'm being thick here because I'm trying to follow along, but
go ahead with your questions.
When this personality came forward, did the ETs already know about him? Did they create him?
My impression, they take us out of a deep slate, a state of sleep.
Okay.
So, and then I think that in itself creates the personality.
So this is like a subconscious.
It's another developed self.
Interesting.
And, but not all contactees have that multiple personality aspect with the Palladians. So this personality would meet Sumo.
Okay.
He would like her. They would develop a relationship, and I wouldn't have a clue. And then Sumo became furious when I got married. She didn't understand that I had no memory of her.
I understand.
She was enraged. So after the Pleiadians didn't like what had happened with my wife and her, and they decided to separate us, then she visited me at my driveway, and that freaked me out.
Wow.
As I was going out to get my mail, I see this strange woman dressed in a winter coat, too dressed up for this area. So what is that woman doing there? My driveway is about 300 feet long. So I see her standing there. So then she walks in front of me as I'm walking back to my house with the mail, and she blocks me. And then I realized that was Sumo, and she was showing me her angry goodbye.
Wow.
And then she walked away. But I've had them come into the house. It's not unusual.
Wait. When you say them, who is them?
Pleiadians.
Okay.
Often they would come as a precursor to taking me.
Okay.
They'd come, and then I'd go with them. As a child explained it, her friends came and took her to her dreams.
Oh, now that's an interesting way to describe it. Wow. Her friends came and took her to her dreams. Wow, that's really cool. Only a kid could say that.
Yeah, there was a conflict with the mother and her imaginary friends.
Yeah.
So in that discussion, I said, are these visitors just like you, solid and have bodies? And she says, yes, they do.
Wow. Okay.
So that took care of the conflict, because the mother was discouraging the child from talking about what she was telling the child, they're imaginary friends. They're not real. But as the child explained, they're as solid as you and me.
Right. Exactly. So, getting back to the whole personality thing, what do you think, or why do you think that they have to put us into a state of a different personality to deal with other contactees in relationships? And why do they even bother having us have relationships with other contactees on such a weird, in a weird way?
I was thinking it had to do with the relationship of higher frequencies.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like Sumo wasn't in any higher frequency when she was pissed off at you.
She had anger. She had – which is not – so I knew she wasn't a Palladian.
Yes,
fairly quickly.
Exactly.
And on the occasions I've met the Palladians, it's been more of a mental connection. They're not speaking English. They like you or they don't like you. They usually are very welcoming.
Right.
And very accepting. And I remember coming up in hypnosis with one relationship. She wanted to get married like we did on Earth. Because the Palladians don't have marriage.
Okay, so why would she want to get married?
She was fascinated by the way we had marriage on Earth.
Oh, okay.
And she liked that idea of life together, you know, the whole concept associated with marriage.
Uh-huh.
And when I had two children with her in that alternate. But when she – when I couldn't agree with it. Because I didn't feel I was getting enough time with her.
Okay, so now when this Palladian said I want to have this relationship with you and get married, did you guys have an actual ceremony on the Palladian ship?
I wasn't comfortable with us getting married, so that was
the end. So you never did get married.
So that was
you
the end
know.
Of the relationship.
But you continued the relationship and had kids and everything with her.
No, that ended.
Sorry, I'm getting confused. So this chick that wanted to get married, and she was living, I'm assuming, on a Pleiadian ship?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you did not marry her, but you did have kids with her, right?
I had two daughters with her.
Okay.
Before she asked that question about marriage.
Oh, very interesting. Now, when you had the kids, are they living on the ship or are they here on Earth?
I'm assuming they're on the ship.
Okay.
Yeah,
because okay,
they're
too.
Of their culture. The right. ship was of their culture, their rules, their laws, their perspectives.
Yeah, I get that.
So,
you know, it's interesting you're talking about it like, you know, they live on the ships and they're out there and they deal with us. Because Cynthia Crawford said the same identical thing to me. She called me one day before she was dying and she said, Lorian, she goes, you know, you're on the ship all, you know, there. And I said, well, how can I be there? She goes, well, you're there and you're here too. She goes, I don't know how it's done, but they've showed me you on the ship working and you're one of the, you know, the top organizers on the ship and you've been working with me all these years, even though we just met here on Earth, you know, recently.
And you had no memory of her.
No, I mean, I met Cynthia back in 2011.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then she spoke for me at one of my conferences, and that's about the only, and I'd call her and I'd see her at the conferences, you know, every once in a while, but none of this memory, okay, none of this Pleiadian ship, like I'm on the ship working with these guys.
But she has memory of you being.
She did, she had complete memory of working with me and that I was her, like, business partner on the ship, you know, working Earth, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, you know?
I had a similar encounter with a woman at the factory I would work at.
Okay.
They introduced her to me on the ship in one of the classes.
Okay.
But she had no memory. She didn't believe in spirits. She didn't believe in ETs. She was very much the way she was. She had a lot of the same aspects in her personality on the ship that she had in the factory.
Oh, in real, you know, Earth life, I call it.
And then my closest friend right now, I met first in abductions on the ships.
Oh, how interesting.
And so we have memory of each other. It took me a while to put her face together, but she ended up being part of a meditation psychic group I worked with.
Cool. Now that's fascinating. See, this is all, and it's so complex. You know, listening to us think we're out of our minds, right? But the reality is this is all, you know, you and I both know what we're talking about because we've been dealing with it for a long time. And isn't like we just thought about this and have been examining the possibilities of different personalities created by the ETs to deal with them and be with them. This is part of, like, I think it goes way, way back to the first contactee that really came out and talked about it, which I think was, you know, Barbara Marciniak. Do you remember her talking about this? She kind of roundabout talks about it.
No, I did. Yeah, I listened to some of her stuff, but I didn't get that aspect.
Yeah, she talks about being on the ships and dealing with them. I don't know if she's doing it as much now, but in the very early days, she talked about Plajarans or Palladians or somebody like that, where she felt that they were working with us and that they were actually living with us at simultaneously living on the ships at the same time.
Yeah, well, they're getting me on the ships at night.
Okay. So you're working in the evening when you're asleep here on planet Earth.
And sometimes they take me too many times and I'm not getting enough sleep. So I had to lengthen my sleep time to be able to better work with them.
Right.
I was waking up exhausted after 8 hours because I only slept 4.
Right. I understand.
so
Now, let me ask you, time on their ship, does it, Is it 4 hours of time you're actually working on our time?
I don't know the time thing. To me, I don't know if it's the same
length.
The same length or not. My son described an experience one night that was months long.
Yeah,
he didn't think he was coming back. He thought he was done with Earth.
Good for him. I wish he hadn't.
He was on future Earth.
Oh, wow.
So they were figuring a way to get water to this community by damming it up with the cars. All the technologies were useless.
Ah.
They were just remnants. So they had to divert water, so they dropped all these cars or pushed all these cars into a river to divert water to bring to the community that he was with. And he was very involved with the leadership of the community.
Wow. This is a future Earth? Oh, my God. You're scaring
me. I visited that in some of the breeding programs. I visited future Earth. Because they wanted me to impregnate a woman from the future.
Sure. Okay. They need your genetics
in that
timeline.
And then someone told me that child, it was so important, they had it done five or six times they had me visiting her to make sure she was pregnant. Then somebody said something about that being me being the child. But that made no sense.
Well, yeah, no, it makes absolute sense. If you're talking about a timeline, basically you're impregnating her to have a child that they are actually going to genetically alter to be you in the future or you at the same time.
Yeah, I couldn't
figure
that.
Trust me, they can do that, you know.
Yeah, and what was weird is she told me your friends are coming to visit you. Some people came over. They were playing instruments that they had. The house had most of the roof was missing. Leaves are blowing around inside. I was even raking up the leaves to try to clean the inside of the house. You can see the furnace through the floor. So she was living in the remnants of a cape.
Wow.
I don't know. That was, and she had curtains that separated for a bedroom.
That's so crazy. I mean, if this is the future we've got on this timeline.
But yeah, the interesting thing was, whatever future it was, there was a hell of a lot fewer people.
Yeah, well, hey, trust me, they've already started that process.
I know, they're leaving.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're already in, you know, they
the
just
German,
know.
The contact in Germany was telling me it would be about now, 9 years ago, that the Greys completed the ship for Earth's evacuation.
Okay.
So they were, and so she said they're done. Now they could evacuate the planet. But everything I get is I remain on the planet. I don't leave the planet.
Well, and maybe all the people that are missing right now have already left. That's what's going on.
That's what I think happened. There was a dramatic depopulation of Earth. Some of us are to remain behind. Now, I've talked to people that have been asked. I've talked to two women that have been asked by the Greys if they want to leave with them. I think the one in Germany, I think, did. I haven't been able to get in contact with her. The other woman was very close to her family, and she didn't want to leave her family behind.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that, because if I'm one of the people stuck here, I'm going to be pretty angry.
But no, whatever's left, in another future, we were living in these cabins we built. Again, no technologies, but there was some kind of phone system.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I was talking on the phone, but they had one building which had a big giant table where they ate. Another building was just bunks. So the future Earth from what I saw, didn't look bad.
Okay.
But again, I was only interacting with a small group.
Right. But basically, we're going back to Amish times. I mean, we're going to be living like the Amish.
Yeah, that's very much what it looked like.
Yeah. You know, that's so weird you said that because, I mean, or I said it, or, you know, we're, you saw that because that's what John Teeter basically said. Mm. He said, we screwed ourselves up so bad and he wouldn't tell us what we did because, you know, seriously, if he had said, oh yeah, you had a bioweapon, you killed a whole bunch of people on the planet, you had nuclear war, you did all kinds of crazy stuff, and, I would never have believed it at the time because I would just think, you know, that would never happen, right? So he never told anybody what really happened. But now I'm starting to think the guy was a real deal, you know?
Yeah. You know, when you get – I'm getting a lot of pieces from a lot of people. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
What's coming. I just found another guy involved with the exact same group of ETs I'm involved with.
Oh, cool.
The military, the Greys, and the Palladians.
Yeah.
And he was meeting with them together. And he, just like me, doesn't know, the fact that they were all together, the U.S. military group, the Palladians, and the Greys, and this, I think this is a positive. The military groups are divided into their interactions with different ETs right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe this group, it has the technologies, it has teleportation. I don't know who I did time for. I know I did time with the Palladians because they told me. I said, what is the future like? And they said, you visited it.
Wow. Okay.
So the future didn't look bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, for you and I, that is not a bad future because I grew up on a farm and I could live that life and be absolutely fine, you know. It's going to be a tough withdrawal for my technology, but I can do it. And,
technology definitely seems like it's going. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it is. I've had that feeling for a very long time, but, and that's why I collect books. People think I'm a nut job for collecting books, but books are going to save my sanity in the future.
if they don't deteriorate in the meantime. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I need some form of entertainment after a long days of work. I want to sit down and have a cup of tea and read a book, and that'll be my thing because that's what it was before technology, and that's what it's going to be after technology. So,
yeah. I'm sure we'll have the printing press. I'm sure we'll have.
We'll have books. I think books will
there
be
was
fun.
No,
I think
there was no electricity.
Ah.
When I first was there, I expected to go to the sink and turn the water on.
Uh-huh.
But when I went to the sink, there was no water. No water came out of the faucet.
Oh, boy. How's everybody getting their water? They go down to a river and gather it every day?
Or a well.
I don't know.
Because she left me in the house. She went somewhere else in the house. I don't know where she went. And then she said, your friends are coming over. And then a group came over with their instruments, old musical instruments. And they're playing the musical instruments.
That is so cool. Did it sound like otherworldly music, or did it sound like something out of our reality?
It seemed good. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I had an interesting experience once when I was a teenager where I was at this big orchestra arrangement, kind of like out of The Fifth Element in that last scene where there's the woman singing, the opera singer, alien. I had something similar like that happen, but it was an orchestra of musical instruments not on this earth, and the music was so incredible it put you into different states of consciousness.
Yeah.
And you could travel the universe on these musical notes. I mean, it was really freaking amazing. And I just thought it was some kind of crazy dream I had, but I'm wondering if I did not attend some type of event my ETs were putting on, you know, that that's their entertainment, is to be able to transverse different realities through through frequency, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
not necessarily musical.
Yeah, frequency plays, or sound plays a major role in the dimensions.
Exactly.
Vibrations.
Yep. So I thought that was a fascinating experience. I never did quite figure out what it was meant to do, except for to show me that that's how it kind of all works, is that frequency is the key to a lot of things here. And because of that experience, or whatever I want to call it, or I called it a dream at the time, because it's
that's what I was putting.
I don't know what else to call it, but because of that, when David Sirita got on the scene back in the 90s and started talking about frequencies and what they can do, and how he talked to Jesus, and that there was a frequency involved and all this, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what happened to me. You know,
one of my guides, who also takes control of me in the abductions, he's not a person. We thought he was a personality. He said he wasn't. He said he's another soul.
Oh, interesting. Now they can. So what you're telling me is they can actually pick and choose whether they want to put souls into you or other personalities, other personalities.
He was part of what's happening tomorrow. He played a role when I went back to find out on the homicides.
Okay, now the audience may or may not remember your story about the homicide.
Yeah, when I was 23 or 22, a federal agent was telling me about a girl. I didn't know he was with the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency. He was telling me about a girlfriend of mine, and I believed him. I believed all of the agents when they gave me information on people. I was quite gullible. So I was supposed to go to the house in New Hampshire to help this woman come off of heroin. That was where they had me set up to be tortured.
Right.
And then killed. So Kenneth was there with two other men. So myself, my physical body was there with two other men.
But this is your alternate personality, Kenneth, that is the military likes to use him. Is that correct?
The Grays started out with him, and then the Grays had conflicts with him.
Okay.
He's from my past lives with the American Indians.
Oh, so he's a warrior dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a very big part of what's coming. He knows, he has the answers, but he gives me the riddles, of course. But in the beginning, so when we were doing hypnosis, him and I decided to switch. So when he was normally in those contacts, he brought me in and he would shadow me. I was trying to find a way to write this. I couldn't.
Okay, but wait, let's go back to the murders. Okay. So basically we just established that Kenneth is another personality.
Yeah.
He's not a soul walk-in or anything like that. He's another personality.
Or walk-in, I think.
Do you think he has an existence beyond you?
Yeah, he definitely has an existence beyond me.
Okay. Okay.
And then he was telling me about the frequencies, because he was a childhood imaginary friend, as I thought.
Oh, okay. So he's been with you since you were a kid.
Yeah. During the beatings that a lot of us got, he took over during the beatings. He became very protective.
Okay. Now, when you say the beatings that a lot of us got, are you talking about from your father or?
From my mother, but in my interviewing, a lot of contactees in my age group, there was incredible childhood abuses.
Yes, yeah.
Way beyond what was normally predictable. The other thing that came up is the parents didn't have memory of the abuse.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. Yep.
Isn't that
interesting?
So, and the Grays would fix me up after the beatings. It made me very angry at the Grays because I wanted them to stop the beatings.
Right.
And then my mother, of course, says, I never hit you. But she punched me into unconsciousness. And eventually seizures developed from that. And then the Grays worked on getting rid of those seizures.
Okay. See, now, this is very interesting because the Grays have intervened with many of my friends who've had complete head trauma situations in their life. I mean, badly, like, you know. And I don't know why. They don't seem to – well, they intervened on your lung. So we do know
no,
that
they're
not –
No, that was the military that did the lung.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, we're going to get
there
eventually.
Yeah, the plane hits came right out because I was blaming it on them.
Okay. So, okay. So let's go back. Let's not get too far away from what we were discussing. Okay, now, there was some kind of murders. You went to a house to help this chick get off of heroin.
Yeah, I was to go there, but my car was sabotaged, so I wouldn't be able to go to the meeting.
Okay.
And then three men came to the meeting and made the other three disappear.
Wow.
So their bodies were never found.
So basically, do you think it was military guys that showed up and did this?
I don't know who was with Kenneth.
Okay. All right.
Because one of the witnesses said, I killed. So when they start talking about me, then it's most likely it was Kenneth.
It was Kenneth. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense because, you know, in talking to my mind control women friends who have actually killed people when they were not in control, when the other personality was in control.
Yeah.
They have no clue that it even happened or that they did it or nothing. And what I tell each one of them is you can't be upset about it. You can't even think about it because the reality is it wasn't even you. Nothing to be upset about, really.
I'm having that issue with the relationships and my wife. I'm not
Well, how many current relationships are you having with ET type of relationships?
The new one is Lizzie.
What? Oh, you got a new one?
Yeah.
Okay, and tell me about her.
She put me in a lot of pain with my fractured ribs.
Uh-oh.
And she was pretty and they have an intimate relationship.
Oh, so Ken,
so
Kenneth
we're going to be doing hypnosis to find out more on her.
Okay, so Kenneth and Lizzie are having a
no, not Kenneth and Lizzie. I'm having a lot of consciousness with Lizzie.
Oh, so you're actually in the process of having a relationship with her yourself.
Yeah, that's how the Palladians have kind of set it up.
Okay.
So I'm having conscious – it's almost like one – I'm having a lot of conscious awareness of her.
Okay. Now, I don't blame your wife for being upset, but well, does she understand that you really don't have control over the situation?
Well, it was funny. My wife ran into one of the alternates waking me up in the middle of the night, and he was sarcastic, which pissed her off. And then she was talking Freudian slips with me. So, but that's, she understands the abduction phenomena and everything. They've done a lot of surgery. I asked the Grays, to watch her.
Okay. So why, let me ask you a dumb question. Why would you ask the Grays to watch her instead of the Palladians?
Because the Palladians threatened to kill her because of her
military. Now, wait a minute. The Palladian people are supposed to be pretty self-aware and loving.
But they don't like intelligence. They don't like military intelligence. Well, and her background is pretty extensive in military intelligence. So they thought she was a spy.
Yeah, but they would know that, Ken. They would know she was.
Anyways, they had an argument, and they said that if they found out she was reporting to another party, they would remove her.
Okay, I think that your Palladian guys might even be military. I don't even know if
that's
Palladian. Because they would never say that. I mean, the ones I deal with would never even think about hurting her.
There's been a number of agents and a number of homicides involved with me with military intelligence.
Okay.
So the Palladians were not comfortable with her background.
Okay.
The fact that
she
found all five implants made them even more suspicious. She knew where to look for the ET implants, and she knew where to look for the human implants.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Because of the training she's had. She found all five implants. Three I didn't know about.
Okay, so let me just ask you this. Do you think she was assigned to you?
No.
Okay.
She's part of the – not – she's assigned to me through the guides, the spiritual guides. She's
okay.
A familiar entity. I've been with her in another life.
Oh, okay. Okay,
so,
gotcha.
So she's not – she's – but her finding the five implants put a lot of people on alert.
Okay.
So then I asked the Greys to protect her. So they put 2 feet of lacerations on her back, and they did some other surgery on her. I don't know what they last time I saw her, because she's, of course, in Sudan right now, she had a 4-inch scar on her hip, a surgical one. So they're doing work on her.
Okay, this is all getting very confusing, because what I'm seeing that's happening here is I'm seeing a lot of military intervention.
Is another group. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
in
my past, there was a lot of military intelligence intervention.
Yeah, because it just seems to me like they're still bothering both of you. Probably more than you're realizing.
I can't on the marks. The marks look similar to the military marks on me.
Okay.
The surgical marks. Very fine, intricate stitch lines.
Right. So I will tell you this. I learned the difference between human stuff that's highly advanced and the ET stuff, because the human stuff doesn't heal over in an hour, whereas the alien you have is a scar left when you wake up with a little red line or something if it's ET intervention. If it's the humans, they you have a red line and the same kind of thing, but it hurts and it doesn't feel like it's totally closed. It feels like it's still trying to develop the scar tissue to hold it together.
Well, they use, as my wife explained, they use existing scars. So I have a 3-foot scar on my stomach down that was from the gunshot when I was younger.
Okay.
So it looked like that's where they put the lung in through.
Oh, that makes sense. And
they use pre-existing. And then when I had an implant inadvertently removed, and then they put it back in.
Oh, okay.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, and they're very – that was the military. It is a bigger one. It's about half the size of a golf ball.
Okay.
And that's in my back.
Because the military, they pulled out an implant in me, and it hurt like hell. When I woke up, it hurt like hell. And I knew it was the military, not ET.
Yeah, the ETs are really small. I'll send you a picture of a Palladian implant. It's on my wife's back.
Okay.
It's a tip of a pencil, a round black ball.
Yeah.
I was debating on removing it. But
I
left it alone
behind my ear
and the tissue grew over it. But you can see it.
Yeah, that's exactly like the one I had behind my ear as a child.
Yeah, they were doing the earlobe. They're doing behind the ear.
Yep, that's where mine was, behind the ear.
Yeah, that's where she found one.
Oh, interesting.
But theirs are real small.
So yeah, human
ones in me.
I was able to extract that one behind my ear because it was so close to the surface of the skin.
Yeah, it was. I was playing. It was bothering me. Then it eventually disappeared.
Yeah. Well, they have a tendency to disappear when, you wake up one day and they're there and the next they're not. And that's nothing but, intervention there by the
end. Yeah, I had a growth growing in my throat. want me to, they're telling me to remove it with my nail and how to remove it with my thumbnail.
What? Seriously?
So I removed it and it grew back.
Okay.
And then they removed it and I can feel where I can feel the scar where they cut.
Right. Exactly. Wow. This is crazy. I mean, this is, if someone was listening to the show today, they'd be like, oh, these two are just out of their minds crazy. Yeah, but.
The marks are on many people.
Except, I was just going to say that. See, the problem we've got, folks, is that there's way too many of us out there now coming forward with the marks, the relationships with other people or relationships with ET. This is not something new, but it's taboo in our community to talk about it. And it's very upsetting to me because I think it makes a huge difference. I mean, for example, and I'm just going to throw this out quickly because we haven't got much time left in the show. But here's the deal. Many of my contactee friends have been seen on the ships in a different personality state. They don't remember what's happened to them, but other people do. They go, that wasn't you. It was so weird. You weren't acting like yourself. You know? And so there has to be some form of severe mind control or personality altering ability that the ETs have, and I've always known this. Okay.
Yeah, well, the MK Ultra shadow seems to play with what a lot of abductees are describing, the beatings to bring about dissociation.
Exactly.
And the military, they had me kill people. I did some missions with them, but I had a tantrum on the last one. They had me, we were entering a facility. They had me kill both unarmed people in the facility. I believe they were looking for uranium. And this was a shipping company.
Okay.
So they had us enter first. When we're empowered or whatever they do with us, it's difficult for us to get killed. So they used us to enter first. So I entered the plant. And I was just to kill everybody that was in there. And after that, the gun jammed on the last guy. I had a tantrum, and I haven't been on a mission since, which is good as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
I'm assuming that was with the military group.
Okay. Because it sounds like a typical mind control victim scenario when you're working with the military.
Yeah.
You remember Duncan O'Finian, right?
I don't quite.
Okay, well, he's one of the first super soldiers that came out about all this stuff. And he never really talked about ET contact within the construct of his, you know, abduction or training or what have you. But I know that they built different types of personalities into him, and I know that there was always ET watching his platoon, if you want to call it a platoon, or whatever group he was involved in at the time. Because this was during NOM. And there's way too many stories out there from people that were there that saw these group of people working that said definitely there were ships around every time these guys were in country. Okay, ET ships floating around out in the atmosphere, you know. So they put two and two together, you know, the people on the ground that were watching these things take place, these missions or whatever you want to call them, skirmishes or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they always knew that the ET had something to do with it. Whether they ever figured out how they were controlling the situation, I don't know.
But in that one guy's recollection, the Greys, the military group, and the Pleiadians were together.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes absolute sense.
And that kind of put it together for me. He said they were cooperatively working together, all three groups.
Well, I was told when I was very young that they all worked together, and I could never pin it down. I can't pin it down to this day how that works. You know, it just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. And I think possibly the reason I can't pin it together is because they're not allowing me to.
Yeah, there's That's quite possible. The other thing is when we're teleported, we have super strength.
Wow. That's cool.
I didn't realize that until they teleported me out of a nightmare. And I, of course, thought I was still in the nightmare, and I threw a guy off of a bridge.
Oh, geez.
I threw a six-foot man off of a bridge, thinking he was the one in the nightmare.
Yeah.
They immediately brought me back. They immediately sent me back after I threw him. He landed on his shoulder and neck from about 15, 20 feet. But I was amazed at the strength of moving and throwing him.
Wow.
So
absolutely crazy, man. The other dimensional reality is just, you know, what can I say? Guess what? The show's over. I think we did damage today. I think we talked about a lot of things. Yeah, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for being with me. I really do enjoy our talks together here live on air on the show.
Yeah, I have been enjoying doing and getting things out. There's been the restrictions on my writing on the computer for some reason are lessening.
Yay! So we'll get a book. Okay, we gotta go.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.